Bear.
You dickheads.
Welcome to episode 23 of Double Dodge. This one's called hashtag Oh My Fucking God, the Worst. And on this episode, we have doubled down on Carball. Campbell.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I can't believe we've got to this. I blame you, Dave. I actually just blame me.
Just out of ideas. Out of ideas, man.
Yeah. I know. We've deteriorated to this point that we've got two flaming shit shish kebabs ready to stuff down the throat of the subscribers. And you know, apparently that's good. So, yeah.
But in an effort to try and make it relevant, we've actually done Carball where we've tried out farmers and blacksmiths, so we've basically turned it into a group wank. Maybe we've taken a leaf out of the Wank Dungeon manual, and we've decided to just freehand masturbate to our farmer / blacksmith experience.
Should we actually put a disclaimer in there that you shouldn't actually do it while driving? Highly dangerous and wank while driving. I don't think any of our supporters should be doing that.
No, what you want is your passenger to do the wanking whilst you're driving.
Yes, okay.
You work the stick, the stick, it all works out. Just don't drive.
Win-win. Exactly.
Yeah.
Nice.
Good advice, Cam.
No, I thought it was a pretty good episode. We have delved into the glory that is the two new guilds that have come out, and I'm really actually enjoying the new freshness. It's like we've just started playing all over again. You've got a whole bunch of new dynamics to learn, and I'm really enjoying that.
Yeah, me too. I like smiths. I like farmers. Kind of interesting design. It's good to see how guilds are evolving in new directions. Really didn't expect the blacksmiths to be a scoring heavy team, but pleasantly surprised that they are.
Oh, they're super scory. I mean, you know, with three models that have a 3-8 kick or better, that's pretty good. Yeah, no, I like it. I mean, from the other side of the table, because obviously, spoiler alert here, but having received some of the goals being smashed in from the blacksmith from the other end, it's pretty cool to watch, and it's definitely a guild that I want to get in and play when they get released full.
Yeah. I feel the same way about the farmers. Probably pick up Thresher and thresh him out with him when he
gross. He's so gross.
So in the second half of the episode, we talk about WTC a bit. By the time this drops, that will have been made defunct. We do know that Germany was the winner of the WTC, so a big shout-out to the Germans.
Yep, well played. Well played.
The winner is always fun. But Timmy Wisniewski has a warm place in our heart. Congrats to all those boys.
Yeah, I mean, German on German action in the final. That's pretty cool.
It's fun, man.
I was on the Twitch stream, and it was like some kind of German Scheisse movie. I don't know, but I was slightly excited by the fact that that prospect was coming around. So, yeah, very nice. Well done.
Yes. Indeed. Anything else we need to cover off before we jump into this shit show?
No, I think we get into this shit show because the sooner we get this over with, the better, and we can get onto some decent content for the punters.
All right, let's do it.
Carball! Back in the car.
Woo!
The segment that has been described as flaming shit on a stick.
We're back.
Hashtag, oh my fucking God, the worst.
Yeah. We are.
We're fucking terrible, man.
We try to be. And I think what people don't understand is that's part of our business model.
Yeah, just be less good.
Yes.
Be more shit.
Yes, we're good at that. Mm. So we've got a kind of pseudo slug fuck, don't we? Because I think the fact that neither of us have really played these much will make it a slugfuck, basically.
It's going to be slow and painful.
Yeah.
So we're matching blacksmiths versus farmers.
Oh, so fucking excited. I haven't even seen my farmers yet. That's how shit I'm going to be at this, because I've never played them before. And Big Daz from Nerdvana Games is going to rock up with said box, and I'm going to rock it straight out.
And I've got my blacksmiths all the way from Gen Con, thanks to Lawrence Tan, the fucking legend.
Yeah, he is a champion.
So they're pretty much good to go. I've played two games with them so far.
Yeah, so it is going to be a terrible game.
Yeah.
So we'll put that disclaimer down now, but I'm sure we'll have some nuggets of cool information for people at the end.
I quite like the plastics.
Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah, I didn't think I'd like them that much because, you know, I like the crisp quality of resin and metal. But I was pleasantly surprised, I think.
I think as long as you're not heavy on the primer and it doesn't end up looking like Gumby at the end, I reckon you'd be all right.
Yeah, yeah.
I like this.
I think the nearest point of comparison for me is, like, it's better quality than War Machine plastics.
Oh, boom.
Yeah.
Have that.
But I think, like, just in terms of gauging it on a scale.
Yep. Yeah. No, I agree. I think they look pretty good. And as we were just saying before we started recording, how good is it that I can rock up? Daz is going to rock up. He'll hand me my Farmers, hopefully. And bang, straight out of the box, let's play.
Yep.
That's pretty awesome. Good. And I've definitely bought into that whole idea now. I think that's fantastic. And I think that's pretty good from a business point of view.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
cardboard tokens though, which is, you know, slightly shit.
It's all right, you know, like they give you what you need to play.
Mm. I'll message Alex a picture of them just in case he wants to see them.
Yeah, I mean, Harvest Markers, they shouldn't be cardboard.
No.
I think we've established that.
Yeah.
So, you got any thoughts about how to play Farmers? Or you...
fucking idea. I've been actually speaking of Alex, listening to other podcasts and their take on how to play them. Obviously, because it's the box, I'll be playing Grange Peck. I have got Tater from when that pre-release came out last year. So I've got Tater. I'll probably rock out some Grace, because I just actually really like Grace. I know a lot of people don't. And then maybe some Harrow and Jack Straw, because I need some influence. And that's the interesting part about the whole building mechanic. Other guilds, you build based on what... are their fortes, or, you know, I need a striker, I need a soak, you know, those kind of positions that you look for. Whereas you do look for that in Farmers, but you also go, fuck, I don't have enough, you know, reapers, or I don't have enough planters, like, and you really have to balance that out. So I found that fascinating in the kind of development dojo phase.
So your plan is to play Grace instead of Bushel?
Yeah, basically. Bushel's a pretty cool goal threat. Grace is equally as good a goal threat in terms of distance. You effectively get an extra 2 influence because of her inbuilt mechanic where she gains 2 at the start of her activation, which I reckon's really cool because you can effectively cap her out at 5 if you really want to. So if you are thinking turn to turn, you set up the next, you know, first activation next turn, she can put you know, quick foot on herself, charge, and still have 1 influence for a shot.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I like quick foot on Wendell.
I like Quickfoot on anyone. Like, Farmers aren't slow either. Wendell's slow. Most of them have, you know, 5-7, 5-8 kind of moves.
Mm-hmm.
So they can get in there. I mean, Quickfoot on Tater is just fuck off nuts. Yeah, he goes to, like, threat range 12.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So it's absolutely going to be a learning exercise. I like... The other thing I like about them, and this was part of the learning kind of dojo phase, was the healing mechanic, because you naturally, from what I can gather, you naturally will bunch up a bit, right, in the middle. Both captains have that about them. Thresher obviously wants to kind of do his super solo thing, but Grange wants to be in the scrum. And with Harrow around, and also with Grace, you've got kind of these 2 abilities to heal 4 outside of other, you know, come on mates, those kinds of things. So I see that as a pretty big positive. And with the amount of boxes they've got, I'm hoping that's how you kind of keep them going. So it'll be interesting to see.
So the 2 games that I've played with Blacksmiths, I kind of, when I picked them up, I liked the models, and I hadn't really looked at the rules that much. Then I played a couple games, and I'm like, these guys are fucking weird. So they've actually got great kick stats, and they seem like a really credible football team. The ability to, like, churn out damage is not... I mean, it's there, but it requires setup.
Yep.
So the whole master-apprentice structure means that you ideally want a master to go first, set up the apprentice, and then the apprentice is largely the damage-dealing piece.
Yep.
They're pretty squishy, so they die quite easily. I've been playing Ferrite as the captain. Just because I think, like, giving her 5 influence actually pulls a goal threat out of nowhere.
Yeah,
I think she can do a lot with that influence. But I'm keen to try like either Furnace or Anvil. I don't really like Anvil as a captain that much.
No, I don't see his the add-on to the legendary as that much more beneficial to the style they want to play. It's beneficial, absolutely, but it just, you know, it was interesting. The first two models that came out, so Anvil and Sledge, you thought, right, they're just going to be super tanky in the middle. And then the other, you know, the next kind of four that have been released really are counter to that. It does look like a football-y side. It's almost like a bit of a fish-style side. So
yeah, I think they've got that kind of goal-scoring explosiveness. But what gets me is, like, you've got a fish-style football team with Brewer's stat lines. And in some cases, Brewer playbooks.
Nice. Yeah. And then just iron. That's the missile. Either goal threat or just, you know.
Yeah, I still haven't quite worked him out.
Yeah, it seems like a bit of jank to kind of trigger the full threat range, but I assume you can at least get, you know, without the free jog from Ferrite, you can at least get, you know, that super threat range, extra speed on himself and go into someone if you really want to.
Yeah, I mean, 2-2 close control seems like not bad.
Mm.
I don't know. I mean, he's not going to hold onto the ball for long, but he can tank one of those tackle attempts, I suppose.
It's interesting. I'm chatting to a few people, and this is what I was thinking about the farmers, and I guess my question for you is whether the blacksmiths have this, but farmers don't have too many models that can just hold the ball. Are there, you know, what models in blacksmiths can do that?
I think iron can sort of hold the ball, but I think his close control might be more relevant to parting blows than anything else.
Ah, okay.
I don't know. I don't see a particularly good... Cinder's not bad. She's, like, unpredictable.
Yeah.
Which helps, but she's only a 3-1. Yeah, she's only a 1-inch melee.
And that's the thing, isn't it? All the apprentices have those lower stat lines.
Yeah.
To kind of symbolise that, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there's no really standout model in that regard. I think they kind of want to be aggressive with the ball. So they're probably looking to get the first goal in the game.
And then potentially you've got your Cinder and your Ferrite as your snapback kind of opportunities as well.
Right? Yeah.
So you're just looking for situations that you don't want to hold the ball, you just want to stick it back in the goal straight away.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Though I do think they can switch up if they need to. Like a 2-2 game is definitely on the table.
Mm.
And that's always encouraging. I played a game with Lawrence, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago now, and it was the most bullshit ever because I went in, scored my first goal with Ferrite, and she's like floating around 8 inches off goal. 4-8 kickstat. Fucking amazing. He then goes in, knocks her down. He's playing Brewer, so knocks her down. The ball comes back out. The ball came back out. It was a loose ball. And he didn't get it back at one point. So Cinder goes in, generates momentum from range.
Oh.
Puts me up to 3 momentum. I stand Ferrite up, pass the ball to her whilst she's engaged, hit a 5, and then get like a 3-dice snapshot off her.
Oh.
It's just like the biggest load of bullshit ever.
Man, 4-8 is like an insane stat line. That's shark. Right?
It's pretty good.
That's very
pretty
good. And she's got acrobatic, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does. Yeah,
she's nuts.
Which is great.
She's standout. Like, eventually, I'm sure with my addiction issues, I'll get blacksmiths, and she is just nutso captain. Like, you can see that extra 2 influence going such a long way.
Yeah, I really like her. She's fast. I like Cinder a lot. Like, I love that kind of ranged attack.
Yep.
So, you know, this ability to kind of like, you know, shoot somebody from 6 inches and use your playbook for a result just kind of opens up possibilities. Like, you can get a dodge off it, generate momentum off it.
Yeah, it's not a yes or no kind of situation. It's like how many successes can you actually get?
Not like a character play where you...
That's fascinating.
Yeah, so that's a nice piece of design. I like her a lot. I like Iron. I like his momentous 2-on-2.
Yeah.
With
tooled up, that's just...
I actually think it's really tricky. Like, I busted them out on Vassal and just mucked around with, like, goal threats on Iron. So, like, Ferrite, pull Iron. Iron then putting impetus on himself. So that gives him +2/+4 move. And, you know, trying to get him within 2 inches of the goal so he can use his try-hard trait.
Yeah.
It's not that easy.
No.
I think you can't do it. It's going to be hard to do it turn one.
Well, people
turn 2
will
block
you
like
at that point, you would assume, right?
Yeah. And it has to be a linear threat as well.
Yeah,
and everything
exactly.
has to be perfect. So it's not going to happen very often.
No. I can see him as the is the beating missile, though, as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, whether it's turn one momentum generation plus, you know, suck on this kind of thing. Like, yeah, you can kill him, but he's going to generate enough to go first turn two and then set up your turn two by either putting someone down or, you know, with a bit of tooled up and the rest of it, just because his threat range is so long.
He does die.
Oh, yeah, and he would, but whether you can trade that for a model that's worth more, I mean, you know, chess kind of analogy that you're trading a pawn up for a knight or something like that, like whether you're getting that trade. Obviously, it depends on who's got the ball.
Speaking of pawn, do you want to hear a joke?
I do now.
So this family walks into a hotel.
Yep.
His dad, mum, two little kids. The dad walks up to the clerk at the desk and says to the clerk, "I hope the pawn in this hotel is disabled." And the clerk looks back at him and says, "It's regular porn, you sick fuck."
There's something wrong with us. There really is.
Yeah, all right.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, so Blacksmiths. I don't know. Nice. If I get a second game tonight, I might play some Theron because I fucking love Theron.
Yeah, he is a legend. No, I don't know. Like, I'm all in Farmers here, mate. Like, I'm so keen to play him. I'm sure once you push my shit in the first game, I might be slightly sad, but I can just see it's that whole puzzle thing again. I know we go on about it, but I just see there's a puzzle there and I want to kind of solve it or at least understand it.
Mm.
Really fascinating. I do find it interesting that some of the names that they've, you know, chucked out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got Harrow, I think, was it Fallow was spoiled? One of those. Then they got Furrow as one of their abilities. You know, is there like a burrow in there? Do they, or a barrow?
It's all very agrarian.
It is. I mean, in a Jethro. Like, where are we going with this? I mean, if you want to have sex with your aunt, that's fine. Okay? I'm not going to say. Speaking of which.
Oh, yeah.
Game of Thrones. Spoiler. Have you seen the...
I have.
I don't want to ruin it too much for people, but sex with your aunt.
I don't know how you ruin that.
Oh, man. Yeah.
It just kind of ruins itself, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Well, I slightly... Tell me you weren't aroused by that.
I wasn't. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's weird. It was weird watching John and Danny get it on.
Yeah, yeah.
It felt kind of icky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll just be quiet for a moment.
I don't know if I... Do I edit this part? Do I just, like, bleep it?
Possibly. Yeah. So, yeah, no, Farmers are awesome. I'm super keen. I think they've really hit the nail on the head in terms of the, like, design or the elevator pitch that they kind of put out there as to what they wanted them to be. Thematically, they seem pretty cool, but hey, I could be crying in a couple of hours' time when we do the recap of the game.
I always find picking up a new guild to be an exercise in just like it's a bit frustrating at first, you know, as you get to grips. But I really like that sweet spot where you get an understanding and they start to hum. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah,
I've enjoyed painting the blacksmiths that I've painted. I painted iron halfway through sledge. Yeah, I don't know. There's like some mold lines which I cleaned up with my knife.
Yep. But
beyond that, it's been a pretty good exercise. They're nicely detailed.
Can't be any worse than trying to clean up an Infinity Mini.
Oh,
God.
Jesus.
They're beautiful minis, but my God.
They take some work, don't they?
Yeah.
Even the old War Machine shit, man. Like, I remember scraping lines off fucking...
Like, Warders, mate. Fucking Warders. Cut them straight down the side of their heads.
Played like all those House Guard Halberdiers from Rhett. Man, they have mold lines all over them.
Are you trying to sell those?
I've been trying to sell them for a long time. Apparently the market is it's a buyer's market.
It is. I might wait a bit longer. I've been buying some terrain recently just for my hobby fetish.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, some pretty cool Knights of Dice. Do some wicked MDF stuff. So.
Oh, cool.
Pretty cool. Kind of... sci-fi buildings, shit like that. Really cool, but got a bit of an Asian feel to them.
Oh, nice.
Wicked.
Yeah.
Love it.
I haven't had, beyond, you know, the odd hour or two painting, I haven't really played many games at all, man.
Yeah, man. I guess after Nationals, you kind of... You know, last week we had the footy. This week we're getting up there, but I think you kind of go off. Like, I just want to... I like having the rest after, like, a big tournament.
Yeah.
You know, straight afterwards, you're like, yeah, I want to play again. And you do. You play a few games. But you also just don't want to kill it at that point. It's nice to change it up and do something different.
Yeah, I don't know. After CanCon, I really, really wanted to play loads of Guild Ball. After Nats, yeah, I was a bit the same. A bit tired, I think. It was an exhausting tournament.
We were playing about 7 odd games in a weekend, so 7 or 8.
Yeah.
It was good, though. I can't wait for CanCon. Fuck, that's going to be good.
Oh, man.
I think our good mate, Ed, is organising it.
So, Ed Lambeck.
Yeah, he's a champion.
Big shout out. Love yeah, that dude. Hopefully we can get to 32.
Yeah, I reckon.
We got to what, 28 at Nats?
Something like that. It was 20. Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
I reckon we can get it up there. Hados from Orange is growing the local community there, so he's going to try to wrangle a few people and bring them on down.
Christ, that's terrifying.
I know. I loved CanCon last year in terms of just, we had a great location to stay at, the bar across the road, the gaming, all the other games as well, just being able to like check all them out. Should be fucking awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to see if they've got like a Domino's tournament, maybe some Parcheesi. You know, just to kind of break it up a bit.
I hope fucking Guns has got Judgment there, man. I want to play that if he's got a tournament there.
Me too.
I'll play that because I reckon that's releasing very soon. So I should have enough for a team or a couple of teams. So
yeah,
but more just for fun. Like, I haven't played it that much, so just see how it goes.
Bit of a palate cleanser.
Oh man, they're fucking stunning miniatures. They're absolutely stunning. But yeah, they're not cheap, but they're 50, you know, 4 mil or whatever the scale is, and they're fucking amazing. So yeah,
well,
get in on that.
Blacksmiths v Farmers.
Yeah. Wait for the recap.
I just think this is going to be one of those nights where the winner will definitely be fun. It's a win.
And jank.
Yeah,
I'm going to kill like one of your fucking your captain with Peck. I'm calling him now.
Oh, okay.
Peck's gonna kill someone.
You can get your cock out on the table.
I will.
Good stuff.
Don't put it past me.
It's happened before.
I love it. Actually, I can't wait for the fucking donkey though. Just quietly. That donkey. Are we still talking about Guild Ball?
Oh my god, at work today.
Yeah.
So apparently some of the people I work with are fucking insane. This lady who is she's pushing 50, so she's old enough to know better. She's like, yeah, I want to show you like a clip from my favorite movie. She fucking pulls up this video on YouTube of the movie Grimsby, and this scene where like they're hiding inside an elephant's vagina, and then just as they're about to get out, a fucking bull elephant runs up.
Oh my god!
And starts fucking the elephant that they're inside, and in an effort to hasten their exit, they decide to like help the bull elephant get off by fucking tickling its balls and like stroking its knob, and the whole scene ends in like bull elephant semen all over them, and this is shot from the inside of the elephant vagina, and I'm just like, we're in a corporate environment, like what the fuck is wrong with you?
Once again, you were slightly aroused though, I'm sure.
Oh my god. Yeah,
I thought you were going to say, like, her favourite movie was Meet the Feebles, but, you know, equally as bad.
But, dude, I'm like, oh my god, the fuck is... Like, what?
Who are you?
Anyway, it was an experience.
Yeah.
So,
So, I won't put that on my, like, top 10 movies to see, just quietly. But yeah. Meet the Feebles, definitely put that on.
Oh
my
classic,
god.
Classic.
Yeah, that is quality.
Yeah. Back when puppets were still a thing.
Indeed, and they liked doing other puppets, and yeah, that was so good, that movie.
I like that the start to Car Ball has been like relatively Guild Ball light, relatively elephant semen heavy.
Or heavy elephant semen, either way.
Either way,
yeah,
either way.
It works.
All right, let's
tie a knot in that one, and we'll see you on the other side. Crunching newbies.
Darryl,
that's just Darryl from Nerdvana Games.
Back.
That's his new title. Yeah.
Back. Lost.
Yeah. Oh, look, learning experience, I think, for everyone.
12-10.
Even the poor guy next to us, it was his first game and he was trying to work out Farmers. 12-10, yeah, it wasn't too bad. We both definitely made some mistakes positionally and just activation, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But we both, well, I definitely don't want to speak for you. I love farmers. It was so much fun.
I like blacksmiths. I feel there's a lot there. I don't know that they're my play style, but I guess I haven't played them enough to know for sure.
Yeah. So, no, it was pretty interesting. I kicked off to you and we, you know, derped around for a bit. I tried to steal the ball, I think, at one point, and then basically crunched a model, killed Iron off with Grange, because tooled up Grange and...
Boom,
yeah,
bitch.
Killed him, and then you came back with a goal. And we basically formed a big scrum, and what we established there is Momentus 7 on Sledge's playbook is quite open.
It's
when,
not bad.
When
you
you're punching
that.
Farmers in the face.
You can get there.
So I think that happened, what, 4 or 5 times?
Yeah, it happened a couple. No, not quite 4 or 5. It happened a couple times.
Yeah.
Two or three. I don't know. I definitely saw that blacksmiths have that setup play. Like, you want to go master apprentice if you can.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't like missing that 2-dice shot with Cinder.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I forgot about that.
I think that kind of threw my momentum a bit, but whatever. That happens.
Yeah, because you set that up. So Cinder, pretty cool play, comes in, does her ranged, you know, attack to get momentum, has a shot. That was pretty clever.
Yeah, I like her, but her defensive stats are terrible. Like, against 2-inch melee models.
Yeah, so, basically to win the game, and we worked out it kind of come down to a couple of activations, but Grange had been taken out, came back on, and deleted her. Straight deleted her.
Just boom. Mm. She's on 11.
Yeah.
Boom. You day so. 3-1. Not great.
Mm. But no, definitely a lot of cool stuff. I slowly got used to the whole Harvest marker plus Jack Straw. Got him bouncing around a bit. You know, had them sitting in my backfield and just bounce off one to the other. I thought, for a bit, he just felt like a glorified crowd out, which is a bit weird.
Yeah.
But he definitely has, like, that goal threat. I think you just have to understand what situation needs to be in play at the end of a turn, or what you need to set up to then have it on the table the next turn.
Yeah, or you can just ask Alex. He'll tell you.
Yes, yes.
He likes flowers.
Yeah. Well, he just play Thresher.
He's got a big old chubby for Thresher.
Wow. I didn't have the luxury of Mr. Thresher this evening, so yeah, it was pretty good. Grange was pretty good. I found tooled up Tater plus was it Honest Labour or Constitution, whichever, the +1/+1 damage is insane. So when you go on +2 with Tater, he just fucking chews through people.
Yep.
That is loads of fun. Didn't get a counter charge off though. Slightly disappointed by that.
I was impressed by how well the blacksmiths can tank.
Oh yeah.
You know, if you can find, like, a bit of terrain to cover, and then, yeah, you can just fucking sit there and take damage.
Well, Furnace's character, whatever the AoE was that stops the crowd outs or whatever, that was pretty big, because there was a situation where he came in and I probably had more players in the scrum.
Yeah, and he's just like...
He just negated all of that.
Go for it. You're at base tack and I'm, like, a 3-2, standing in cover.
In cover, absolutely. So I think that's a definite play. Like, Furnace can come up and really tank a scrum using that, and maybe, you know, set up other apprentices.
Yeah, I don't mind him. I like tooled up, and I like the wrap on his book, because he's got a short book. You hit that non-momentous 3 at the end and it wraps the momentous 1. It's pretty good against non-tough hide models.
I think the one time you started really getting it, I was Constitution or whatever with Grange. I was tough hide.
Yeah.
Grange at that point. Man, Grange is a fucking tank.
Yeah, he can take take a beating.
Yeah.
I think your play with Grace as well was really good, because it did work out exactly how you wanted. You're basically healing 4 a turn.
Yeah.
When you take into account Harrow's healer.
Yeah, plus Grace's...
Plus Grace.
Yeah. And I found... So the side I took was 13 influence plus Grace's 2 that she gains. So I'm starting at 15. After you get a goal, it's 16. And then whatever harvest markers you take off the pitch. So I found that made the momentum game really, really easy for me, because then I can allocate 6 to Grange, 4 to Tater, and you've still got 5 other where, you know, Harry doesn't need much. He only wants 1 or 2. Grace only wants 1 or 2 because she gains 2. Yeah. So, yeah, it was really, really cool.
She's a good striker for you.
She's
got your goal.
Yeah, I would take her well over Bushel. I'll definitely test Bushel out, because she looks pretty fun.
Just think she's got, like, a better toolkit for that striker slot.
Once she enables the your kickoff. So this is one thing I know Strictly the Worst talked about, where without, when you're kicking off, without Thresher, you can't thread as easy. But when you, if you kick with Grange and you put Quickfoot on him, he threatens a half decent distance. So he goes to basically speed 9 plus 2-inch melee. So that's 11.
Yeah, it's not bad.
He jogs 5 at the start, so 16 inches is to the other baseline.
Yeah.
So unless they're really hanging back, you can usually get in on someone. So my idea there was that I would wait for you, go last activation, excuse me, and then go in on someone, hopefully win the turn, beat them up again, and then sprint back. So get back into my team at the, you know, first activation turn 2. So, I mean, I didn't have to, it turned out, but I think that's potentially a pretty cool kind of yo-yo kill play.
You didn't play Wendell.
Didn't play Wendell, I know.
I think Tater for Wendell seems perfectly decent.
Yeah, Tater's fucking legit.
He's a dude.
Yeah, what I found, and it's probably really bad positioning on my part, is I didn't get him in a position where I could trigger... like, you know, the knockdowns, the
The counter charge,
or the charge, or even just if you hit the 3 column on the playbook, you do the character play and you just knock everyone down in your melee zone. Yep. But because I was scrummed up, I knocked down most of my own models.
Yeah, I did try and jam him up just so that he couldn't get out there and get the extra damage off the charge as well.
Yeah, and Tater next to a model in cover, not good. Like, I reckon farmers actually want to be in the open.
Oh my god, what a concept! Yeah. Big open field?
Yeah, big open field, just, you know.
Yeah, on a combine harvester.
Chewing on some wheat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Smoking a little hashish.
Cock on one side, donkey on the other.
Exactly.
Nice. Smoking a little hashish.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, they're good fun, so.
So I'm still trying to work out how to use iron. I think running him in is a mistake. I think he seems like a... I don't know, like, you want to go for that big long-range goal threat, but really what he seems to want to do is bust up a scrum.
Yeah, so we talked about this after, and I think he would benefit from being around Furnace, because he can die relatively easily if you get crowds on him. Mm. And if you can, you know, Furnace can kind of protect him, but he can also mess with the scrum. So if he's got his little pushing people around ability, that can really help, like, reorientate a scrum for then your heavy hitters like your sledge and that to really, you know.
Yeah, so if anybody has, like, advice about iron, you know, throw abuse at us on Twitter for being shit guys.
It's early days.
It is.
I'm sure we'll just renege on all this. This isn't advice. This is commentary.
Yeah. I don't know. I like him. I want to like him more. I need to play some more games to work out exactly what he does best. Yeah, Ferrite, legit. So legit.
So she scored 2 goals for you?
Yeah, she got 2 goals.
Yeah, so she's okay.
Little goal sneak. I love her legendary as well.
Yeah.
Like that +2/+2 for everybody. That's really good.
Well, and just the fact she's got all the dodges on the playbook, right? So she can, you know, bounce around and do all that fun stuff too. Well, the acrobatic anyway.
Yeah, any model with, you know, viable dodge is great.
It's a hard time when you're buying a dodge to basically get in tapping range. First world.
Yeah.
Blacksmith issues.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, man. But after playing that game, I just want to play more Guild Ball now. Mm. You know, we're talking about, like, Guild Ball fatigue on the way up.
Nah,
fuck
man.
Me, man.
So we'll play a few games.
Just want to work it out now. Like, I gotta keep playing.
That's what I love about these new guilds. That almost felt like one of our first games.
Yeah, it did a bit.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, probably longer than a normal one, because we are derping around reading cards and whatnot and trying to work out what shit does. But had that same kind of freshness to it, which is really cool.
Good times.
Yeah, no, I can't wait. I'll play Farmers for a bit now.
I want the next wave of Blacksmiths, please.
Yeah.
Hurry up.
I just want Millstone and Tater. Actually, Millstone, Tater and the Donkey.
Yep.
Oh, sorry. Thresher and the Donkey.
Yeah, that sounds like a joke I heard once.
Mm. Hey, the Peck's not bad, though. At one point, you'd knock down, what, 2 or 3 of my models. Peck just comes along. Heroic, thank you very much. Everyone stands back up. Like, situational. I even tried for, like, the ultimate Peck doing a Sikkim charge.
Yeah.
Rolling 8 dice into iron, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was iron I was going
at. One hit.
Fucking kidding me.
Roll better.
Yeah.
Shit, guy.
Did I tell them up for that? No, I had Constitution.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You had all the buffs, man.
Still did 2 damage, man.
Yeah, but the problem is the donkey is so good.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's like it's a problem with mother and engineers. We should probably give some engineers tips.
Yes.
So people can call us shit guys.
Yeah, like double goalie. Oh my god, did you see that?
Hashtag oh my fucking god, the worst.
Well,
that's the name of this episode, by the way.
Hashtag you don't know fucking yet, play the models.
Yeah.
If you haven't played double goalie, so one of the Aussie guys, Tobias, actually played double goalie in a few of his games in nationals. I think he played in the final. And there's a little bit more to it than just trying to negate goals. So if you're going to like hate on it, maybe try it out and see that there's more tech than first meets the eye. But yeah, we don't know engineers.
No American. Well, a subset of Americans will never agree with you.
No, let them. It's fine. This is all fine. They also don't.
Fucking like Australians. Sorry. Yeah, fucking Australians. Bunch of pricks. What are they? No.
Convicts. We're convicts.
Ride kangaroos and sink piss.
Colonials. I think that's what Andrew keeps calling.
Yeah, I'll cop that from Andrew though. Yeah, I like Andrew.
He's a dude. He's gone back onto Masons too. He's crutching. Crutching.
You know, there comes a time in our life where we just have to accept.
Yeah. Injies, they're so good. They're all so good. This is what I love about the game. And I find so easy to jump around. Like in other gaming systems, like Warmlords, it was so hard to jump from one to the other, or you had to learn so many models. Whereas with Guild Ball, there's definitely different play styles, but if you've got a general understanding, you can jump from one guild to another and play them and have, you know, a good amount of success early.
I do like, working out the nuance of a team. Like is always enjoyable. Like it's hard, and sometimes you want to give up. But once it clicks, it's actually a pretty great feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you just roll them out and curb stomp people.
I think after that game tonight, like I realized that there's a lot more depth to blacksmiths than I'm seeing.
Mm.
You know, they're not just like tanky dudes who do shit. There's kind of set plays that they maybe want to avail themselves of.
It's like a pattern recognition thing. I find like. With certain teams, there are setups that you want to see on the table. Yeah. Once you get used to knowing what they are for each guild, what those patterns look like, then you know how to play better because you recognise them more readily and know,
Theron,
know how to set them up.
Has something walked within 13 inches of Theron?
Yeah.
If yes.
Shoot it in the face.
Can I stand here and just shoot stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I really want to play more Hunters. I love them.
You love some Hunters, though.
Yeah.
I want to play more Farmers, man.
Yep.
I want to thresher someone to the face.
It's a love connection for you, Campbell.
Oh, it's so good. Oh. How fucking good's the ball?
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, it's the best ball. Best ball in the game.
It's a pumpkin.
Best ball in the game. What was I going to say? Do. Fuck. Straight out of my head.
Something about a love connection.
Love connection. Not.
Sadness.
I just have to accept.
Yeah.
That's my advancing.
It is getting late, you know. Get some more games in next week. Had a newbie in tonight, who was pretty cool. Daryl was a mean prick and smashed him. No, he wasn't. He showed him how to play the game. I think Farmers might not have been the easiest team to learn just because of that extra mechanic within them. Ellie helped him out and tried to show him a few things. So, yeah.
So this is where I reckon Fish and Butchers are actually not bad.
Oh, absolutely.
As, like, starter teams.
Mm.
Masons, yeah, not bad.
Yeah. It's almost like you need to make sure that you've got one of those sets sitting around your club in case someone comes in and wants to play.
Yeah.
I guess the pity is that sometimes the aesthetic of some of the newer guilds is better, and that's what attracts the new players, right? So yeah. Same with Hunters. A lot of people jumped on Hunters and then went, ooh, this is a little bit difficult.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yes. Oh! Beard Minis.
Yeah.
You know Beard Minis?
Yeah.
He's sending me... Chibi Theron, Chibi for hard cards.
Oh, bullshit.
Fucking massive shout out. That guy's like he's a good dude. I like him a lot.
You get all the love, man.
It's because I give love.
Yeah.
Except to the Yanks.
Yeah. Well, you give them something.
Actually, we need to shout out fucking the Wank Dungeon.
Yes.
Because they created a special double dodge emoji for use in the Wank Dungeon. Which I think is amazing.
That's fantastic. That's harsh.
Also,
paying homage.
They turn Patrick Van Valza into a god. They made him their god. It's like fucking Lord of the Flies in there, man. It's great.
Oh my god, I'm gonna have to go. I haven't been in there for a while. It's a scary place.
Blotsy's like their shaman.
Oh.
It's just like wearing a skull and shaking a rattle.
Nice.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Some kind of bag full of bones.
Yeah, fucking
kangaroo's balls or something.
You know, auguring the future.
Mm, nice.
It's good. It's a good spot. The old Wang Dungeon. It's really coming along.
Yeah.
They're really making
it's like
your fist.
Sleeping
of it.
With your arms.
Yes. Feels good, but you know it's wrong.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, on that note.
Yeah. Should we wind it up?
Yeah.
That was good fun, and we'll see you again next time.
Oh. I don't know that the fans love Carball, though.
I don't know if we have too many fans.
I think we're losing them at a rate of knots.
We are. I did try to start a fight today with Alex. I wasn't trying to start a fight. I took offence to the their lack of love for the triple goalkeeper engineers lineup. So,
when I pitch Alex, you know the crab in Moana, the big shiny one?
Yeah.
Sort of.
I like it. He's a collector.
He is a collector.
He's got Maui's hook. No worries.
He does have Maui's hook.
Nice.
I'm fucking tired.
You are. We've started slow for Carball, just for the punters. So what's going on this evening? We've got a bit of... I'm taking my farmers again. Farmers are awesome.
And despite I'm taking blacksmiths again.
Oh, boo. Were you sad about blacksmiths?
You know, after Carball 1 for this episode, I was a little sad, but I have since played another few games, and I have come around to them.
You got some tech.
I think there's a lot of depth there to be explored.
You know, we should just call it Carballs.
Carballs.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Carballs, colon, truck nuts.
The loosest double dodge ever. So what's your blacksmith's tech, or what have you started to understand dynamics between what players?
Don't put iron in the middle of the field. That's a bad idea.
That was suboptimal. Yeah.
Yeah, he'll get fucking bashed.
Yeah.
But yeah, it turns out that blacksmiths have all kinds of cheeky ways to extend their threat.
Mm.
And I do like the option of iron being like mid board turn two, ready to pound some flesh.
Mm. Yeah, I can see him benefiting from some of the other master abilities. Like, Iron's actually got some really good momentous damage on his book. And he can take 4 influence. And I was looking at this today. If you can, you don't have to tool him up, but if you tool him up and then, get a crowd or so, you can get to that Mom 4. I think it's on his 3 or 4, maybe, on his 4 column. About that. Or you look for a singled out and then throw him in there, something like that, and he can do some serious fucking damage. So
it is only he and Cinder, I believe, out of the two current... Out of the current 6, who can take 4 influence.
Ooh.
I mean, obviously, Ferrite can.
Well, whichever master you choose as your captain can, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean. God damn, wake up!
I think part of it is also that people look at, and I did this, I look at Iron and go, Iron, awesome, insane goal threat, but really fucking 2 dice shots at goal.
Yeah.
Not the best.
No, he's your beater. He's a very reliable beater.
And when Ferrite is just nutso goal threat, you actually don't need him to be the goal threat. You know, yeah. I'm assuming that it's a Cinder and Ferrite kind of combo that you look for if you're going a 2-2 game.
Yeah, but even Furnace, he's got like a 3-8 kick. So for a
what?
He likes to tank the midfield, so Jesus. he can actually kind of put the pedal to the metal, get up there, take a decent shot. They've got amazing kick stats.
Yeah, if he just ends up with the ball in the scrum and then just knocks someone over, or walks around him and gets within range, because if he's near the middle of the park, that's actually not that hard, right?
Also, Sledge is a pretty decent snapshot opportunity with long bomb. So just say you've scored or you've been scored on. You know, you flick the ball out to Sledge, you've got Ferrite up the board in range, like 8-inch kick on goal opens up a lot of kind of snapshot opportunity.
Yeah, that's the, I mean, that's the same kind of tech as, you know, the ratchet long bomb to a snapshotting velocity style.
Yeah, that's what
but I mean, Ferrot's basically got the 4.8 kick, which for snapshots is
dirty,
vital, I reckon. Like, if
it
you
just
go
means
to five,
that, like, when you're bonus timing it, the odds are ever in your favour.
Mm, yeah.
Except we know that they're not.
No. Except when, like, you get goaded into it round one of your national tournament, and you're like, yeah, I'll fucking snapshot off Colossus, and you roll 2-2-2-1-1. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
But no, I do love the two new guilds. I love the boxes that they're in.
Yeah, me too.
You,
like, I got mine on my lap right here.
Nice.
For the listeners' benefit.
I mean, just portability and the fact that entire set all in one.
Yeah.
Having looked at the farmers one, I think knowing that the other six farmers, or the other four plus ploughmen, I think, that we're at the moment, but knowing that there's more and that Thresh is a really good captain, all these other things, you kind of go, I'm not so sure about this exact box. But I look at it, and I've been looking at it for the last week since the last episode, or the last couple, and the dynamic is actually really cool. Like, what they've put in the box is actually quite clever in how you can roll them out. So I'll probably play, last week I played through Tater and Grayson, but I might just go the pure box and see how it kind of rolls.
Bit of Windle, bit of Bushel.
Oh, Windle's just, I actually come up with a bit of some interesting Bushel kind of action. So I'm going to try to trigger that. But Windle, yeah, okay, he's slow. He goes down like a sack of potatoes. But if you get him humming, I know a lot of other people have talked about how the setup's quite difficult.
Yep.
But I think naturally the farmers have that setup anyway. So you generally want Harrow going early anyway to harvest marker plus tool someone up, right?
Yep.
So that's going to happen no matter who you're trying to set up. You bounce into where Wendell is, all of a sudden he, you know, goes that 1 inch further forward. You've got really cool counter-tech pieces like Peck to make sure that Wendell doesn't get knocked down, or if he is, that he can stand back up and doesn't get controlled in that way.
Yeah.
And then if, you know, once at that, his threat range is basically the same as Rage, right? So it's actually not that bad.
Yeah, I mean, he will do damage if he gets in.
Mm.
I played Quinn Duggan on Vassal, and he made good use of Wendell after Wendell came back on the field. Like, Wendell got taken out, started two. Wendell did come back in and gradually creep his way up. And, you know, once I think the midfield is committed, that's where he starts to really come into his own.
So he's like a boar style model.
Yeah, I look at him as a sweeper, but you were talking about some pretty janky threat extension tech.
Yeah, so I think, and this is the other side of the coin, is with Grace and Millstone, you know, there's 4 extra inches, right?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, he walks 7, so threat's 9, or if you, you know, want to charge, which I wouldn't necessarily recommend because he loses one of his, or two attacks, essentially.
Yeah.
But that's a pretty big threat range extension before you've even moved people in to do the dodges, right? So every time someone stops within 4 inches of him, he takes a 1-inch dodge. So you're generally going to be setting him up, and if you're using Millstone and you're using Grace, there's 2 dodges, so that's 2 inches. So you've just added 6 inches to him, right?
Yep.
To his 3 jog. So now it's 9 plus a 2-inch melee. That's 11 inches.
Mm.
That's a half-decent distance, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think there's definitely room to work there. By no means am I saying, yeah, he's broken or he's amazing. I think you need to test, and there's, like Steam Forge have always done, there's a negative to the positive. They've pushed one side really high to then compensate and the other side really low to allow for that. So you can dish out the damage. I'm sure tooled up is fucking nuts. So
yeah.
But he'd go down like a sack of shit.
But, you know, if you've managed to commit him favourably and you're up an activation as a result, then you limit the damage. I see him as like a in the same way that Boar is good, like at the end of the turn and then at the start of a turn.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sort of. He just strikes me as like a Boar-style chassis.
Yeah. Yeah, wants to do the damage, do it again. One thing I have noticed with the farmers is there's a lot of between-turn thinking involved. Oh. So it's not about, from turn to turn. It's not just like some models where you go, yeah, four on dismount, cut someone up, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, get your momentum. You want to have harvest markers out there at certain points, or even have positioned players in certain spots pre the next turn. And so I think there's a lot more depth of thinking involved there. I think Bushel wants that as well. I think you can potentially set up some pretty cool goal runs with her when she hasn't got the ball, but still going first.
Well, how do you mean kickoff pressure?
Well, with her, you can essentially... forgot the name of the play, but was it On My Mark, or, you know, where you basically get the pass to to her, right? Yep. She's natively a 16-inch threat range. Def 5, you sit her, you know, somewhere in cover just to try to look after her. And then a lot of the... Granger's got a really good aura, which is +1/+2. So all of a sudden, those medium kind of kick stats in the scrum, if you leave the ball near someone in there, she can actually trigger a pass. It's still a 6-inch range, you're getting that extra dice. If you've got Benediction, you can theoretically get a 10-inch kick if Benny's in the middle using him to channel the pass. You could do a 10-inch kick off Grange to Bushel to then set up a goal run.
You know you're challenging orthodoxy here.
I know. It's shit. It's absolute garbage. Just like my goal, like triple goalkeeper tech.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Why do you insist on doing this?
I don't know. To myself or to the listeners?
Not even going to the WTC.
I know.
I'm not sure we have standing to comment here.
Well, the positive is that we'll go undefeated at the WTC.
Yeah.
We will not lose a game.
Well,
I can guarantee that.
I mean, that's true. That's true.
Maybe we should be challenging some of the people from the
WTC. I'm really sad that I'm not going.
Oh, man, it's glorious. Like, Warmer Hordes have done it for years, and I used to love watching the streams for those. And I reckon, yeah, Gilball's the same. Like, it's just looks like a great community kind of atmosphere.
Yeah, I want to meet Steve Easton. I want to hang out with Jared.
Mm.
And I want to, like, fucking... I even want to meet Botsy. I really do.
In a warm kind of embrace.
I don't know, man. I just want to see if he's like a robot under all that.
Is Quinn Duggan going?
I don't know.
Because I'll just, you know, the lizard men actually throw a team out there.
Who else can we reference?
And offend deeply.
Yeah. I don't know. It just looks like an amazing experience.
Yeah, it does look pretty awesome.
Going overseas is fun at the best of times.
No, envious. We will start our endeavours to raise money for next year, because I think Australia definitely needs to send a team. I think that would be awesome. And we got some really good players, so we will start doing that. I think the time frame was too short to actually mobilise the troops from where we are. So
it is quite a logistical exercise to get to fucking Europe from Australia. Mm. Man, it's like, it's far and expensive.
So we'll work on that.
I think I was really excited to see Hearth this week.
Ooh.
When she dropped.
Thoughts?
Oh, I love her. Man.
Three inch melee.
Like, alright, she's not like Thresher. There's not going to be the same sort of damage output. But what she is going to do is, like all masters, provide an awesome setup opportunity. Like that momentous KD on one, I imagine what will happen is, I can see a situation where, you know, she gets a wrap, and so she triggers the non-momentous three at the end of her book, and the momentous KD on one. And that seems to be a pattern with like master playbooks, in that they have non-momentous damage available to them at the end of the book, and then a momentous result on the first column. So you do get. Like, you're more likely to wrap, and you do get a net momentum benefit.
Okay, nice.
So, I know, like, when I first looked at them, I went, oh, where's the momentous damage? But that's not how they're built. And then you've got the apprentices who have got, like, weird fucking damage tracks. But I've really come around to Sledge. I love the 2-inch melee. I love the momentous 7, which happens kind of more often than you think it would.
Yeah, I copped it. Well, we reckon at least a couple of times last week.
Needs the setup, but he's pretty good. He's got decent kickstart. He's got long bomb, and I love long bomb. for a team that like has players that want to be up the field and threatening goal, the ability to like both engage in a scrum and move the ball around seems really good to me.
Yeah.
Only four games in though, so this is all like preliminary.
Hearth, however you want to pronounce it, is the 3-inch melee is for the turn, isn't it?
Yeah,
so
and
it's
then
an interesting like way of pinning someone down with a KD on one.
Yeah.
I find that fascinating.
And then the rest of the team gets a 2-inch melee. So
it's the legendary.
Yeah. That legendary play is awesome. The ability to like throw out 2-inch melee, like just to hand out equipment, that's great. The give and go rule, where if you make a pass to a give and go, the other model can make a 4-inch dodge as well. Pretty sure that's how it works.
Yeah, so it's basically you both get the 4-inch dodge for spending the one momentum to do it, both, essentially. That's awesome.
That can set up a goal run pretty nicely.
Because how often, that used to happen a bit, like you know, you make a pass and then you're all of a sudden you're like, oh, I want to dodge that one, but I actually want to dodge that one out of melee, or, you know, do something with the other one.
Or into a scrum, like get another crowd.
Well, yeah, you want to basically extend threat range of two models and you can actually do it, you know, so all of a sudden you get two people up the pitch. That's pretty cool.
I can see a situation where if you've got a crowded midfield and Hearth pops her legendary and suddenly everybody's got like 2-inch melees, it actually translates to tag bonuses.
Yeah,
that is good.
So it's like this singled out kind of scenario, isn't it?
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, me too. And I just dig the model, like, you know, old chrome with a whole bunch of gear.
No, it does look like that the old lady from the labyrinth, but, you know.
Yeah, maybe the art for this episode can be like the bulge from David Bowie's pants in Labyrinth.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe with the old lady's face on it.
Nice, I can do that.
I know you're good with Photoshop.
Yeah. I love David Bowie too, so you know, those are good things.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Rip.
Have they got something? Yeah. Have they got something for old ladies at the moment? Do you think Perkins is, you know... I know he's a married man, but there's a lot of, like, old lady tech coming out at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, Hag?
Yeah.
Perth? That's it. That's all I've got. There's only two.
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's that Steamforged diversity thing that Matt always talks about.
Mm. It's more about a character than just coming up with, you know, big bosomed female models. I can go with that.
Don't get me wrong, Campbell, I do love a big bosomed female.
Yeah. Yes.
But diversity across the model range is great. It's really good.
Oh mate, they're really good. I've actually come around to the plastics, big fan. I like the fact that I just don't smash up my models as much as I used to with all my metal ones. And I've got a case for them.
Yeah, so I gotta say, I like that about the box as well. You can just like pick it up and your shit's all in there and you can just run with it. It's pretty sturdy. It's good. Nice packaging. Some of the mold lines on the plastics are a bit annoying, but if you're patient, you can sort of trim them off with a sharp knife.
No, I haven't even base coated mine yet. So I'll have a look.
Yeah, I'm painting ferrite now, so I've worked my way through iron and sledge. Get ferrite done.
Is there order of like favouritism here, like the models you like the most, or just whatever you're kind of feeling?
Kind of what I'm feeling. I like iron the most. I really like him.
Yeah.
So I painted him first.
He's a champ.
Yeah. But I enjoyed painting sledge. Like, surprisingly, I enjoyed it. I didn't like the model at first, but you know sometimes when you're painting and the character comes out over the...
Yeah, because you discover all the detail and...
Yeah.
Absolutely. That happened when I started painting my my harvest marker of greed in a pile of cocaine and gold coins. His character really came out.
People like that on Twitter.
Mate, I've just about... I'll show you tonight. I've just about done them. The one we put out on Twitter was... pretty much base colours, and I hadn't really gone into the detail, but I'm a big fan of the illicit harvest markers. I know it's... I'm struggling now with trying to translate that into the farmers team, so make them look like coca farmers. So I started work on Tater, but we'll see where we kind of go, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe just a lot of handlebar moustaches and a lot of cocaine everywhere.
You're struggling to realise your artistic vision here.
It is. It's difficult. It's really hard to mould like a credit card and someone chopping up a line. That's the issue I've got. Yeah. Although Greed's got a little knife, so I don't know.
Coke spoon, maybe.
Coke spoon. Nice.
I haven't really done a lot of coke. So.
No, exactly. This is how I envisage it. With all the, my wife loves all those documentary programs that go into real world kind of drug addicts or all that. So you just see all these different kind of coke halls or the dealers, and they interview them. They wear masks and that, and they're showing how they do it all. So that's been my where my research has come from.
Right.
Not from actual use, because otherwise I'd probably be even worse a Guild Ball player than I actually am. So.
Well, don't be too hard on yourself, Cam. You didn't make it to the WTC.
No, undefeated at WTC.
It's gonna be okay.
Well, on that cocaine-induced note, should we wrap the roll up?
Yeah, so recap some games on the way back and some more thoughts about Farmers and Blacksmiths.
I absolutely.
Oh, welcome back, Campbell. Welcome back. You're back in the car. It's late. It's very late.
It's epic. It was an epic evening of gaming. I don't even know where I am. Oh, there we are. All right.
What did you learn about farmers tonight, Campbell?
You got to place the harvest markers. It's a fucking important part of their game.
Wow, Campbell.
Oh,
wow.
My God.
I hear you won a national tournament at some point. That's fucking amazing.
I know.
Like, this is winning tech.
I know. Better be lucky than good, hey?
Oh, yeah. Always. Always.
Yeah, I'm not actually always a good player. I'm just the luckiest, jankiest guy around.
Fucking good for you, man. Good for you.
No, I worked out some pretty cool interactions with the farmers. I think I can see where the love for Thresher is. There are a few times that Grange goes into people and Tax 6, Momentous 2 on the 3 versus Thresher has Tax 7, Momentous 2 on the 2. Massive difference. And I know they're completely different models and one's a support, but I could see that kind of dynamic. We had a pretty good game first up. Had a bit of a flip on the result last week. You schooled me. I think I was... After you managed to score early and then put the pressure on, I think with a second goal, I think I was just chasing my tail at that point.
Yeah, I like Cinder's ability to kick off and then retrieve the ball at range.
Oh my
range
God.
Tackle. I don't know how effective it will be once people understand the trick.
Yeah, I'm not going to put the ball on a Def 3, no armor model.
Yeah, so the play is like you kick off with a... You walk her up. She makes her first attack at range. I think it's called Hot Shot. I can't remember. Can basically make a playbook attack. Tackles on 3. You give it to her, you pass the ball off, or you kick it back to space in your line. So you get last activation and the ball.
Yeah. No, that was pretty clever. And, I mean, obviously it's pretty early days with these guilds for us.
Yeah.
But that's definitely some tech I'll look out for. I've seen her do the kickoff retrieve when you're retrieving and she just spikes the ball and then you do a kickoff again.
Yep.
That's pretty nifty. So, yeah, Ferrite's a boss. I found Iron. Sledge was just dishing out damage left, right and centre.
Yeah, he's a monster.
3 Momentous 7s in a row.
That's pretty good.
I mean
that's like living the dream, though.
That is, and Grange is set up for that, like in terms from the receiving end. A no armor farmer that's knocked down is generally going to give up that.
Yeah, he's going to die.
So yeah, no, it was.
I enjoy Iron. I like the tech where you give him impetus and have him sprint along the lines and push everybody out 2 inches.
That's pretty cool.
Like Millstone style. That's not bad.
Yeah, nice.
And then you can hook him around so that he ends up near Ferrite at the end of the line, and once she goes, she can pull him along with her. So, you really get a sense of the master-apprentice dynamic because they do tend to operate in modules.
Yep.
Like two-player modules. They are most effective when supported by each other.
It's. You definitely notice that with Anvil and Sledge, and I think Iron with the follow-up jog is massive. His threat range was huge. I mean, he ended up getting triggering. Is it his heroic or whatever for the tapping goal at the end?
Tapping goal at the end, yeah. Sort of gradually work him up the board so he's a bit over the centre line, and then I think you scored, and I kick the ball back out. Ferrite grabs it, passes it to Iron. He dodges off, and then boom.
Yeah, it was. I like the way it was basically, you know, said and done at that point. But I do like the way that you used Iron as a bit of a crowd, you know, getting a bit of momentum or on the side of the scrum, but yeah, then can always threaten forwards out of that scrum. I found that fascinating. So
fascinating.
Yeah, it was. It was a good play.
Yeah, I like him. Ferrite's fucking nuts, man. She's so good. Attack 5, 4 long book, KD, you know, disarm, weak point.
Yeah.
Like, she's got a lot of tag.
Took all my farmers to basically put her down. So I played just the Honest Land box. I played Windle for the first time. Balls team up a little bit. Like, went in. You knocked him down. Like, went in, did a heap of damage. Took out Cinder. And then you knocked him down. And so he's in a situation at the start of the next turn, do I activate him or do I just accept that he's going to get his face punched in? I activated him, did some bad dice attacking into, because I didn't have the plus tack and plus influence, just made some bad decisions into high armor models.
Yeah.
I think you really have to be careful with him and look for that setup and not throw him forward too early. So definitely like that.
I'm digging that armor stat on the blacksmiths, like 3-2.
Oh, it's gross.
Pretty good, man.
Yeah, I found you really, with the farmers, you like to obviously stack and, you know, add extra crowd outs, but Furnace's ability to negate that really hurts. You just can't get to that wrap or that high-end playbook results that you kind of want to look for.
Yeah.
You know, Granger's got the MOM 2 KD right at the top, or even just the MOM 3 on his 5 column.
Yep.
They're the things you want to get occasionally, and I found, yeah, Furnace negated that quite easily.
That anti crowd out gang up aura on Furnace is like, it's pretty good. Costs you nothing, you drop the aura, you know, you can protect a player, you can protect Furnace if he wants to tank a scrum. They're forced to take pushes before they take damage results.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that sort of thing.
And
really,
that's where farmers, you know, their pushes aren't exactly, you know, they're not momentous, they're not great.
Yeah, I've come around to Furnace. I didn't, like, I looked at him as a tooled up, but he's actually not too bad. Like, he's a good piece for, I guess, setting up and protecting. When he gets the wrap, he does decent damage as well. So, like, not MOM 3, MOM 1.
I'd definitely take Grace into that matchup again, because she can straight up just remove the AoE.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
I think that's really important. Tried Bushel out, went for the... I did manage to trigger the activation kind of goal, which gets the ball passed to her, dodges, then takes the cabbage punt, harvest marker, re-rolls the shot. That's pretty cool, but it's super cute. One thing I did notice with her, though, when you get constitution up, she gets a fucking shitload of work done. So MOM 1 on the 1 column with a, you know, a couple of crowds and constitution, she was really putting it into Ferrite, was it?
Yeah, she put Ferrite in the dirt.
Yeah. Good one, Bush. Good one.
Yeah, throw a tool up on it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not something... I think that's more situational tech. You're not going to do that all the time, but if the situation does, you know, is there... I noticed in my second game that, like, Grace couldn't really do much. Like, when I was trying to get her out of a scrum, when you've only got... You know, you can get the dodges to get out, but I couldn't actually get any damage on models that I wanted on, so...
Yeah, fair enough.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really liking the blacksmiths. I think you've got some interesting play styles. Like, they can play a really tight 2-2 game. They can switch up for a 3-0 game. If they really wanted to go 1-4, they could, but I don't know that you'd want to. Like, you want to play a faster game with them, which they know.
Well, and they can. I think any team that is durable in the centre and then can score quickly generally will go for a 2-2, won't they? They'll just...
I love the snapshot scores. Potential as well. Like, once you get Ferrite up there, you know... She's just like this gold snake.
Mm.
You know, you were unlucky in that you lost a plus 2 initiative roll.
Right?
And the ball kind of scattered free. So Ferrite, you know, immediately made some momentum, went and scored.
Mm.
You know,
I think the game was...
Go to 8-2 at that point.
Yeah, that was pretty fucking gross then.
Yeah,
because I was basically looking to trigger the Bushel goal at that point, go up to 6 and then force you to come back, go to 8, but then hopefully get positioned to kill one of you, and we go to 8-8 at that point. So,
yeah.
I'm really liking the farmers. There are a few things that you really don't want to forget to do. Obviously, harvest markers.
Harvest markers.
Yeah, but even just activation order. I've now started to understand what order you want models to do stuff. I like actually having a little bit on Harrow. I like him punching people and generating harvest markers. It's pretty cool.
Yep.
And you find he sits around the scrum anyway, because the second game I played Tater and Grace instead of Bushel and Windle. And you've basically got Tater, Harrow, and Grange kind of in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what you want, because he wants to be tooling up and healing them both. But then when he's in the scrum, there's two crowd outs there. So you're automatically just popping out more harvest markers. It's really good.
Yeah.
It's a really high influence side too. Like, it's a 13 influence side. Then Grace gets her extra two.
Yeah.
So it's 15. And each turn, once you get the harvest markers going, you're going to about 17 influence.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, that's fucking gross.
Just gives you lots of options. I did try a chicken charge. The second game I played Ellie. Shout out to him. Our local shark player. We try not to think too badly of him for that. And he shark did his thing. Scored a couple of goals early. I went... so I think killed shark because fuck that guy. 8-2. But right at the end, when we're kind of wrestling for the game, I'd clawed it back and just played keepy off for ages. We got it to 10-all, and Peck went for a charge. Shark was within two of the edge, and I'm like, oh, here we go. I had one model engaging shark, so what's that, seven dice. I need a shit ton of successes, but Peck's got a push on one, so I need the double push. I was hoping to push Shark off the table for the win by chicken. It would have been fucking glorious.
Oh, man.
Ellie plays, what's the card with Tough Hide and...
Brace for Impact.
Brace for Impact. No push. Sad.
Sucks.
Sad.
Oh, well.
Serves me right.
Yeah.
Chickens shouldn't be pushing Shark off the table.
Oh, man, you want to live the chicken dream.
Yeah.
I think we all do.
And some people have.
Good luck to them.
No, that was a good game too. That was really tough. Like, Shark, I find ball killing was pretty tough with farmers. They struggle to do it, and I probably felt like Thresher would be really good into that, just that extra reach and that faster killing game.
Mm-hmm.
I found I was projecting my killing quite often with, you know, trying to get Honest Labour up and Tooled Up and that kind of thing.
He's kind of like a 6-point monster as well. Mm. Like, you can just whip out 6-point activations with him.
Yeah, because he's a freaking 3-8 kick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he melts squishies.
Yeah.
What a dick.
He's a legend.
So you have to, you've come around to Botsy's worldview then?
Yes. Yeah. Well, look, I've actually never played Thresher. I can just see the upsides to him. So, yeah. And I find, like, Grange's legendary is situational. I haven't played them into, like, a side that you really need, like, into a Brewers where you need the sturdy.
Mm-hmm.
So the harvest markers, it's... If you're playing Harrow a certain way, you actually don't need any more harvest markers. I'm finding I'm dishing out enough with the side that I'm playing that I'm usually getting to five, no worries. And even if they're trying to kill a couple, you generally only want to keep one or two. You know, one near Tater, maybe one near Jack Straw for his jump around kind of action.
Yep.
So I'm finding that I can feel the side, and it's essentially a 15 influence side anyway.
Yeah.
I reckon Thresher in that might be pretty cool though.
I've played him on Vassal a few times, and yeah, he's a powerhouse. He's fun to play as well.
Mm.
Like, just a lot of crazy 3-inch melee bullshit. Then gonna go score on your team, fuck you, game's over.
He strikes me as a bit of an old, you know, the old season 2 Midas, where he could, you know, put himself on, dial himself up to 11 with damage and whatnot, and then, you know, punch someone, you know, in the face. The
thing is, like, you shut him down, you shut Tater down, and the farmers are gonna struggle to get their game done.
Mm.
But yeah, I can't wait for, like, the next lot of blacksmiths to drop, lot of farmers to drop, yeah. Just, you know. I don't love Anvil. I don't hate him, but I just feel kind of ambivalent about him. I don't really love Furnace and Cinder either. Like, I love Iron and Ferrite. I feel like they're a great combo. Maybe it's just because I haven't played enough games.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because I think, I mean, Anvil, you kind of need... Anvil and Sledge need to go together, and Sledge dishes out the damage
yeah.
With the setup.
But I feel like Hearth could support Sledge, because she gives him, you know, she can buy him plus two net hits.
Yeah, that's not bad.
So, you know, do you...
That's a pseudo anvil, right?
You trade out, singled out at that point. So, yeah. I mean, in the sense that, like, you have to think about building your team, it's a good thing. But I don't know, man. I'm just going to keep playing and see where it ends up. Like, I'm ambivalent about... I'm conflicted about Cinder, because on the one hand, I love some of her dirty tricks. On the other hand, she dies so easily.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't necessarily want to spend the influence to put up, like, decoy, I think it is.
No, I accidentally killed her in my first attack of six with Windle, too.
Yeah, you did.
It was just like... You just melted. Rapola, oh, she explodes now.
But I figured it was like a 2-4 trade, like,
yeah.
I give you 2 points, I get 4 points if they go.
Oh, no, it was, yeah, fair. I kind of had to go for it, otherwise I'm just giving you the 4 points.
Yeah.
So.
But she's, like, I don't know, I want to like her. I'm going to play her more.
Nice.
See where she ends up.
Yeah, I'm definitely playing more farmers. They're good fun. Painting them up.
Yeah.
My list of tokens. No, I've got to actually start painting the actual farmers now. It's funny, coming from War Machine, where so many people played with unpainted models, I'm now, like, a bit snobby that I just don't like playing unpainted models. Like, I want to paint them all really quickly.
Wow.
I know.
Wow, you've reached your final form.
I don't know. I've leveled up.
Ding!
Well, Pokemon Evolve, man.
Yeah, yeah, you, yep. Pikachu. I don't fucking know Pokemon. I don't know.
Well, on that note...
Yes. Carball episode of Double Dutch. What a strange and unwanted thing.
It is. It's probably why we keep shoving it down through people's throats, though.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I think the next one we're having post-WTC chats, aren't we?
We are indeed. Excellent. Which will be very interesting. We have to recap some of that awesomeness and see who basically gets bragging rights over teams' tournaments of different countries when... Australia wasn't involved.
Yeah, I hope it's Germany, just quietly.
Whoa.
Germany or Britain? That's kind of
the Germans what I'd like will to come see. Close on the drunkest award, definitely. So
yeah,
and possibly that's just Tim flying that flag.
And yeah, I don't know who else. Are they Irish playing? They're probably part of Team Britain.
Yeah.
Fucking colonial bullshit. I don't know. All right, man. Well. It's another cardboard done and dusted. I'm very tired.
Damn, me too.
Nights. Fuck you, Andrew.
And welcome back. Oh my god, what an absolute shit show. Dave, how did you convince me to actually like put this on the air?
Well, I believe it was you who said to me, Dave, we need to get some content out. You've been a bit slack. And I said, we could do two carballs, and you're like, that'll do. So yeah, that's pretty much what happened.
Well, it went from carball to just carballs. I mean, that's essentially what we went for. We figured things need to come in twos, and balls naturally come in twos, so I thought it kind of worked.
Carball, truck nuts, nuts, nuts.
Nah, look, to be fair, I kind of like it, and it's one of the ideas that actually got us into podcasting in the first place, was the fact that we like to wank on and chat about football when we go into our gaming, and we thought, well, fuck it, we're just going to expose that to other people, and they can listen to us wank on, because we think we've got a half a decent idea about what we're talking about, and yeah, so yeah, double carballs.
Double carballs. I mean, like, I do feel like you're trying to justify it, but whatever, man. Whatever. It's like, we don't have to do this, but
no,
we do.
No, we enjoy it. Actually, speaking of enjoyment, if you enjoy it that much, we do have a Patreon page. It's patreon.com/doubledodge. If you can't find us, then you're shit, but just tweet us and we'll tell you shit and then we'll tell you where it is. We have recently had a couple more subscribers. Craig Nielsen, you're an idiot. I don't know why you're spending money on us, but thank you all the same. And Ed Churchman, also suboptimal decision, mate, but we're very happy with it, okay? And we do appreciate it. It helps us now, possibly we've got enough to maybe pay for half the petrol to get to the next CanCon. So we're almost there.
Thank you. We appreciate your support. Patreon is basically a tip jar for podcasting, I think it's been described as. And thank you for your money. We appreciate it.
Yeah. No, we really do. Your tokens, widgets, stubby holders will be in the mail. Hey, speaking of stubby holders, after this releases, in fact, pre this releasing, there might just be an emeraldized Jamie Giblin stubby holder on the market, maybe. So just hold tight for that. I think the world needs this.
Wow. I just like the idea of sucking a cold one out of Jamie's face. It's got to happen. It's got to happen, man. The world needs this. You're right.
Absolutely.
Big shout out to our good mate Big Daz from Nerdvana Games. NerdvanaGamesSA.com. Get your stuff from him. He is a lovely man.
Nice. Any other shout outs? Have we got anyone else?
Big shout out to Lawrence Tan, who, without him sending us blacksmiths, this episode would not have been possible. So, in a way, you can blame Lawrence.
Absolutely. This cardboard, this absolute shit show, is Lawrence's fault.
Thanks, absolutely. Lawrence.
Nah, you're a champ. I really appreciate it. I love the community kind of atmosphere. You know, guys like our good mate Hayden Sheehan, see him on the Twitch stream or see him, chat with him on the Twitch stream all the time. I love it when there's like, you know, Steamforger doing streams and we can jump on there and have a bit of banter with some of the guys we know internationally. It's really cool and I really enjoy it. So
also,
shout out to all you guys.
Plans afoot to get Australia to the WTC. We are fairly determined to get there next year, and we're sort of kicking off that process, so stay tuned.
Absolutely, we're undefeated at the moment, so no one can hold that against us. We're haven't lost a game yet at the WTC.
We didn't even win our own nats.
I know. Shh. Just don't tell anyone. Just tell a Kiwi joke. Insert Kiwi joke here.
I have to go. I feel sad.
Well, on that note, it's been glorious, and that's another episode of Double Dodge.
Yep.